Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Good Friday meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, verses 62 to 66. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.' Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. So far, our sermon text. In Christ Jesus, who has fulfilled all of his promises to us, dear fellow redeemed, this year in our Sunday morning services, we've been meditating on ironies of our Savior's passion. Again and again, we've heard some very surprising things. We've encountered some unexpected and even absurd events. Tonight, we have one more irony to look at, and that is the words of Jesus' enemies after Jesus was put into the tomb. Jesus' death didn't happen exactly as they had planned. In fact, they crucified Jesus at what they thought was the least opportune time, the worst time, right during the Passover, when there was many, many, many visitors in Jerusalem. But they got it done. They accomplished their will. Jesus was crucified, and now he laid dead in the grave. They could now breathe a sigh of relief and go on with their life. But one nagging doubt still bothered them. He said, "I will rise again." One of the great ironies of our Savior's passion is that many of the things that Jesus' enemies said were true. And that's the case again. Matthew tells us that it was now the next day, the day after the preparation, which of course is the Sabbath day. Now, the Jews do different than we do. We go from midnight to midnight. The Jews went from sunset to sunset. So the Sabbath began at 6 p.m. on Friday night and went to 6 p.m. on Saturday night. So this could be late Friday night that the Jewish leaders are talking to Pontius Pilate, or it could be early Saturday morning. But whatever time it is, they are convinced that Jesus is still dead in the grave. And they're coming to tell Pilate something that they're sure he doesn't know about. And that is that Jesus said, "I will rise again." Our first point this morning says that would be a horror for Jesus' enemies. They were so afraid of this promise that Jesus made that they risked even celebrating the Sabbath on one of the most important weeks of the year, that unleavened bread, after the Passover. Remember early on Good Friday when they went to Pilate? They didn't go into Pilate's palace because they wanted to celebrate the Passover. So they demanded him to come out and speak to them outside, because if they would have gone into a Gentile's home, that would have made them unclean. Now, doesn't seem that they care about that, because they're concerned about their fears and about this prophecy of Jesus. And notice how they approach Pilate. Not like Friday. Now they give him a lot of respect. They say, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise.'" Of course, they were telling the truth. That's exactly what Jesus did say. And here's the real irony of tonight's service. We mentioned this earlier in one of our sermons. At least three times in Jesus' ministry, we have it recorded in the scriptures, Jesus clearly said to his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be arrested. He's going to suffer. He's going to die. And the third day he'll rise again. And they didn't understand it. Only twice did Jesus kind of hidden, secretly allude to his resurrection to the chief priests and elders in two statements. This was one of them. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it again. And then kind of in a parabolic way, he said this to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Amazingly, these unbelieving chief priests understood Jesus' cryptic message. And yet the believing disciples, who heard it very clearly, did not. The chief priests didn't believe it. They just knew what he had prophesied. They called him that deceiver. Literally, the Greek reads there, that no good, despicable deceiver. But his prophecy bothered them so much, even though they didn't believe it, it still terrified them. What if it was true? What if Jesus did rise from the dead on the third day? That would mean that everything Jesus had said to them would be true. It also means that everything they believed about Jesus the last 3 years would be wrong. And everything they believed their whole lifetime about the Messiah would be wrong. They didn't want to believe that that possibility even existed, even though they knew that Jesus had raised people from the dead. These are the same chief priests and scribes that heard about Jesus' miracle of raising Lazarus just a few weeks earlier. Remember when that happened? They all gathered together and said, we've got to stop this. We've got to put Jesus to death and Lazarus too. So they knew that he had done it before. Possibly they even heard that he had raised the daughter of Jairus and the young widow's son too in Nain. But they really didn't believe it. They just wanted to make sure that it wouldn't happen. Their consciences were terrified. Did they really believe what they said to Pontius Pilate? Did they really believe that these disciples, who had all fled in the Garden of Gethsemane, only one of them, John, was there at the foot of the cross, that they would have the guts, the stamina, the bravery to come in the middle of the night and steal Jesus' body from the grave and then declare that he was risen? That's pretty unlikely, pretty absurd. And yet, that's what they said to Pilate. So they went to him and they laid their concerns, their fears before him and said to Pilate this. And Pilate gave him a very salty answer. He said, you have a guard. Go your way. Make it as secure as you know how. After all the grief and heartache that those Jewish leaders gave to Pilate on Friday, he didn't care one bit about their fears, about their concerns. He says, that's your problem. You go take care of it. And so they did. They ran and got some Roman soldiers, placed them as guards. The guards stood watch. If this was Friday evening, they stood watch on Friday night and all day Saturday. And Saturday night, if it was Saturday, they stood watch all day Saturday and on Saturday night. And they put a seal on the stone to make sure that no one would break the seal and open the tomb and take Jesus' body. They did all they could to cover their bases. When the 3 days would be done, the guards would still be standing there, the stone would still be rolled there, the wax would not be broken, and then this Jesus would be out of their hair for good. They would never again have to think about this deceiver. They exerted all this effort just to make sure that Jesus' prophecy wouldn't even come true or become a deceptive reality. The terror of these words filled their hearts with such fear that I really think that deep down inside, they believed that it was going to happen. And yet, they hardened their hearts. They didn't want to believe that. They just feared that. And the reason I say that is because on Sunday morning, when those soldiers came to the chief priest and said, oh, we saw an angel come down. He rolled away the stone. We fainted. We woke up. And Jesus wasn't there. His body was gone. They didn't say, oh, you guys are hallucinating. They accepted it as reality. And they went into their panic mode by saying exactly what they had said to Pilate. We'll pay you off. Tell everybody you fell asleep. Tell everybody that while you were sleeping, the disciples came, stole Jesus' body, and therefore he's not really risen. It's just that they stole his body, and he's not really alive. That's how hardened their hearts were. It shows that deep inside, they weren't really afraid that the people were going to be led astray by Jesus. They are afraid they might be wrong. They are afraid that Jesus might be right. They are afraid that they might be wrong because they had no faith. And they are fearful that they, if they were wrong, would go to hell. So they went to all of this effort to make sure that that body of Jesus stayed there in the tomb. What a sad irony. They couldn't keep Jesus from rising. No matter how many soldiers were standing there, even if they all hung on to that rock, they couldn't have stopped the angel from coming and rolling the stone away, showing that Jesus had already risen. His body wasn't there. He already had come back to life. Even if they had a whole army of soldiers, they couldn't have stopped the angels. It was never God's plan to have the disciples come and steal Jesus' body. Jesus had revealed God's plan already. He said, I will rise again. That leads us to our second point this evening. That was the point of all that Jesus suffered. Don't you have to wonder about those disciples? They followed Jesus for over 3 years. He clearly told them, as we said, at least 3 times, this was going to happen to him. Get arrested, convicted, executed, and then rise again the 3rd day. But they couldn't believe that. That's the ironic thing about this. They could not understand Jesus' words. He was their Lord who said, I'm planning to die. That made no sense to them. When they saw Jesus ride into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, welcomed as a conquering hero, they probably thought, what king plans to die? What conquering hero plans to be crucified? And they just couldn't accept and understand what Jesus was saying. So here we see this irony that Jesus' enemies take him at his word, and they shake with fear. While Jesus' friends and his disciples don't understand Jesus' words, and they wallow in despair, sorrow, grief, and terrible sadness. So all that effort to try and keep Jesus in the tomb was completely wasted. The disciples had no intention of trying to get Jesus out of the tomb. They didn't even know Jesus was talking about the resurrection. All they knew is that they loved their Savior died, and that's where it was. Yet all of this happened according to God's plan. God used the fear and the unbelief of these unbelieving chief priests and scribes for his own purposes. Jesus had already been saying throughout his lifetime that he's planned to die. That was his plan before he was born. That was God the Father's plan before time even began. He didn't lose when he died. It was an extreme inhumane injustice, but at the same time, it was a victory. A victory for us. A victory for all sinners. It was God's love put into practice that everything that Jesus did on that Good Friday and suffered, he did for us. For you and for me. He hung on the cross, which is our cross. He suffered damnation and hell, which should have been our damnation and hell. He was placed in the grave, which is like our death. He did everything for us. Because that's what sin has done to all of us. If you're ever tempted to look upon your sins as being no big deal, I mean, everybody sins. I'm not as bad as some of those bad sinners. A little lie here, a little curse word here and there. That's no big deal. Forever tempted to think that sin is just nothing really important, then we need to take a good, long, hard look at the cross. And at Jesus hanging there on the cross. And see all that he had to endure. God's hatred, God's wrath, damnation, hell for you and for me. In a few moments, our choir is going to be singing hymn 153. And verse 3 has some very important words for us when we do think that sin's not really that important, no big deal. That verse reads, "You think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed. See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." When God looks into your hearts and mind, what does he see? He sees sinful thoughts, sinful feelings, and he sees sinful desires, and God condemns us for all of them. And all those thoughts, feelings, and desires lead to sinful actions and sinful words. And each of us are guilty. Now, we may not always want to hear that. But especially on Good Friday, it's undeniable. On Good Friday, we see Jesus doing what every single one of us will have to someday do. And that is die. We'll all die if Jesus doesn't come first, because we're all guilty of sin. However, the good news is Jesus died in our place. He was buried where we will be buried. Yet that wasn't the end of the story. If the story ended with the guard standing there and the seal still there on Sunday and on Monday and on Tuesday, then there'd be no need ever to gather here again. That day would not be called Good Friday. It'd be called the worst Friday ever, because he wouldn't have risen. But Jesus had a further purpose. He planned not only to die, he planned to rise again. And that's why it was so important that the chief priests had the guards there, that the seal was there, so that no one could say it was a deception. No one can say they stole the body. It was proof positive that God raised Jesus from the dead, that Jesus raised himself from the dead, that he lives forevermore. Because he rose, we know all the suffering, the death, the damnation, the hell that he experienced was accomplished and did what God wanted it to do. Forgive mankind. That's why Jesus said on the cross, as we read this evening, "It is finished." He paid for our sins, Jesus' resurrection is like a receipt that says, it is paid in full, your debt is now covered, what you owed to God has now been accomplished, paid completely by Jesus. Jesus' resurrection assures you and me of a resurrection from the grave when we die someday on this earth, so that we need not fear death. That was Jesus' plan, as he said, from the very beginning. But when his lifeless body was taken from the cross and laid in the tomb, the seal, the stone rolled in front of it, his followers, his disciples, could not see that plan. All they saw was darkness and despair. So when Jesus rose again on Easter Sunday morning, he took away that darkness. He showed them that light. He said to them, it is I, told them to touch his body and see that he had risen from the dead. And that's what Good Friday is all about. Jesus leads us out of the darkness and despair of our own death and leads us into the light of life, life eternal. Jesus died, but Jesus rose again to assure every one of us that we too will live. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds centered in our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.